Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is not enough simply to learn how and when Christ our Lord arose from the dead. We must also grasp the benefit of both his sufferings and his resurrection by faith. If we preach only its history, it is unprofitable to us. For even Satan and all his horde know what happened on the cross and in the tomb, even better than we do. It is when we grasp the promise by faith that the sufferings and resurrection of Christ becomes profitable, wholesome, even comforting to us. Christ himself pointed to the benefit of his sufferings and resurrection when he said to Mary, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." These are the first words of Christ after his resurrection, by which he confirmed all the former utterances and loving deeds that he showed them, namely, that his resurrection triumphs for those of us who believe. So that he calls brothers those who believe, though we have not witnessed the resurrection. The risen Christ does not wait until we ask or call upon him to become his brothers. And we have done nothing to earn such a treatment. For what did the apostles deserve? Peter denied his Lord 3 times. The others fled and abandoned him. He should have called them deserters, betrayers, and scoundrels. Anything but brothers. Therefore, this word is sent to them through Mary out of pure grace and mercy. As the apostles at the time experienced, and we also experience when we are captive to our sins, temptations, and condemnation. These are words full of comfort. That Christ receives wicked and corrupt people like you and me and calls us brothers. Is Christ really our brother? If so, then what need can we have? Just as it is among brothers, so it is here. Brothers enjoy the same possessions as they all have the same father and same inheritance. So we enjoy Christ with Christ, the same possessions, and have in common with him one Father and one inheritance, which never decreases by being distributed, as other inheritances do. But it ever grows larger and larger, for it is a spiritual inheritance. An earthly inheritance decreases when distributed among persons, but he who has part in the spiritual inheritance has all of it. But what is Christ's inheritance? It is life and death, sin and grace, and all is in that is in heaven and on earth, eternal truth, power, wisdom, righteousness. He governs and rules over it all, over hunger and thirst, over fortune and misfortune, over everything imaginable, whether in heaven or on earth, not only spiritual, but also secular affairs. And the sum of it is all his. He has all things in his hands. Now, if you believe in him, you become a partaker with him of all things he possesses, and obtain not only a part or a piece, but like him, you obtain it all: eternal righteousness, eternal wisdom, eternal strength, and you become a Lord and reign over it all. The stomach will not hunger, sins will not oppress, you will no more fear death, nor be terror-stricken by Satan. You will never be in want, but will be like Christ the Lord himself. In light of this understanding, we understand the sayings in the prophets and the Psalms, when, like David says in Psalm 34, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. And in Psalm 37, the Lord knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the times of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. All this comes from the fact that we are Christ's brothers, not because of our worthiness, but because of God's pure grace. Yes, if God gave us this to believe, then we are saved. Paul praises so highly and strongly in Romans chapter 8 when he says, "For as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him." The title of being Christ's brothers is so high that the heart of man cannot understand it. If the Holy Spirit does not give this to us by grace, no one can say, "Christ is my brother." Although one may say it with a tongue, it is necessary for the heart to believe. Otherwise, it is pure hypocrisy. We should stir ourselves then to hear this, not only with the natural ear, but also to grasp it by faith, that it would surprise and amaze us. True and godly Christians go along in life in contempt of themselves and in fear. They think, "Shall I, a poor, miserable person steeped in sin, be now so exalted that God's Son shall be my brother? How is it that I, a miserable, poor creature, am in this way honored? I am at once confused by it and feed upon it." For it truly requires a great effort to believe. Yes, when one grasps its truth by faith, he must from that hour die. For man, since he is flesh and blood, cannot understand it. Here in this life, man's heart is too weak to lay hold of it. But after death, when the heart becomes larger and broader, we believe what we have heard in the word. "But go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is one of the greatest and most comforting passages upon which we can venture, and of which we dare boast. As if Christ had said, "Go hence, Mary, and say to my disciples who have deserted me on the field of battle, who have well merited punishment and eternal condemnation, that my resurrection has taken place for their benefit. That is, by my resurrection, I have brought it to pass that my Father is their Father, and my God is their God." These are few words and very short, but they contain a great thought, namely, that we have as great a confidence and refuge in God the Father as Christ his own Son has. Who can grasp such exceeding joy unless one speaks of himself when he says that a poor, corrupt sinner can and may call God his Father and God, just as Christ does? Therefore, go in peace and joy, knowing that this King, who in his glory sits at the right hand of God his Father, says to you, a poor sinner, "You are my brother." Receive these words in earnest, for on these words hang our highest comfort and courage against sin, death, Satan, hell, law, and all misfortune, both of body and soul. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.